Sippers, welcome to this episode of the Tea With Me podcast with me, Shane Todd. Before we get into this episode, let me plug a couple of things. Tickets are out now for my Opera House show, Grand Opera House, 1st and 2nd of July next year. It's a brand new show. It's called Grand. We'll put the tickets maybe in the description if we remember to do that. Dan, what episode is this?
137.
Nah, you're not confident in that at all. It could be episode 137, but who cares? Patreon.com/TeaWithMePodcast. We do a bonus episode on a Monday, live stream on a Friday, and some stuff in between. Also, my Waterfront show is up there in its entirety, if you watch that kind of thing. And also, really sly of the two people who dislike that on YouTube, because it's only Patreon to watch it. So what are you doing? What are you doing? Patreon.com/TeaWithMePodcast. We're sponsored by Thompson's Tea. They're the crowd behind Punjana. Let me tell you this. These guys got together in the literal 1800s. Dan, am I wrong on that?
1880
something. These guys, most people back then were just thinking about, you know, survival or the war, the Battle of Hastings, whatever it is. These guys were thinking about tea. I'm surprised they made it through those times, because there were just tea on the brain. And they decided to invent Thompson's Tea. Punjana. You know, and back then, I don't know what the tea game's like. I know that nowadays, they're the number one selling tea in Northern Ireland. But back then, it was, I mean, people, God know, everyone was trying to flog a tea. You know, you probably had some guys putting some tea leaves in a sock and trying to sell that. But Thompson did it right from the start. And that's why they're the number one selling tea in Northern Ireland. You know their motto by now. It's, yeah, there's going to be haters, but we just keep shutting them up with this tea. FTR, fuck the rest. So yeah, just keep drinking it. Thompson's Tea, we're drinking it. Punjana, it's a nice tea. You're going Punjana? Is that from Kenya? Is that from India? It's from Belfast, mate. We're also sponsored by Manscaped. Now look, it's getting into those winter months. You know? We need all the help we can get. In the basement, you know, because down there, this is when you let things get overgrown. It's like your garden. Oh, I'll sort that out. I'll sort that out when the good summer months come around. I'll sort that out in March and April. Give myself a fresh cut. Look, you never know who's going to see your garden. You might get an inspection at any time. From fucking who's that guy? Who's that gardener guy on TV?
Titch Marsh.
You never know when Titch Marsh is going to come round and say, hey, escort me to your garden right now. You know what I'm saying? I'm saying that downstairs, lads need to take care of themselves. That's where Manscaped comes in. They've literally got lawnmowers for your piece. They've got lawnmowers for your genital region. With a light on it, wireless charging technology, this lawnmower 4.0 is unbelievable. And that, what you do is you take that, give yourself a quick buzz. And that means that if you have any Alan Titch Marshes coming round to the garden, he's going to look at that and he's going to go, whoa, you keep this lawnmower cut. And I think you understand the metaphor by now. They have all these different products. Like, it's coming into Christmas. It's coming into Christmas. Santa's bag's going to be there for everyone to see. Yours might be too, so keep it fresh. They have anti-snag technology. Don't snag your bag. Don't slit your cock. You know, just keep it fresh. Manscaped.com, use the code Tea With Me for 20% off and free shipping. We'll put that in the description. Let's get into this episode. It's so weird when I've got to do reads for 3-4 minutes and my guest is there. It's rude, isn't it? You know, but my guest today is a good friend of mine, a guy wearing a shirt that could be from any era of time. My guest is Mark McCartney. No atmosphere in the studio. I wish we had like
fuck
a...
Fuck, you're good, hey. You've had media training.
Yeah, I know.
That was a very good ad read.
I was grown in a lab.
See, I couldn't do that. If I'd done an ad read for a company that go out of business. Yeah. Now tell me, have you used them?
I have, Dan has, Mike who's downstairs using it.
And do you shave your balls in the dark much? That there needs a flashlight on it?
It's the best way. It's the best way. It just means, say you're in a situation where the lights are out and you need to shave your pubes.
But if the lights went out in my house, the last thing in my mind would be, geez, I better trim my balls.
Well, what if you're going to be kidnapped? Lights go out.
If I was going to be kidnapped, I definitely wouldn't want my balls looking well, because, hey, kidnappers, at least I'm looking fresh for you.
Here's my logic, right? What if you're taken by Al-Qaeda or IS? I call them IS, you probably call them IS.
That's the cool one.
What happens if they do a tiger kidnapping on Mark McCartney, and they strip you, and they film you the wee camera doing, like, you've got to do a message to your family back home?
I don't think...
Do you want to have a bush?
It would, in that circumstances, it wouldn't matter, because they're still, ISIS have kidnapped me.
Yep.
So they're not going to go... That beheading video of McCartney's awful, but at least his balls was looking well.
See, that's where me and you differ, because that's all I'd want people to think.
But I was thinking of getting them.
Yeah.
Would I be afraid of a slip or...
Anti-snag technology?
Is that patent pending or anti-bag technology? What is it?
Patent pending sounds like the guy you get your equipment from.
My old boy has these scissors that he's been trimming his nose with for years, and I've been using them just... He doesn't listen to any modern media, so continue.
I think, like, you're from the countryside that much that it almost doesn't matter. You know what I mean? Like, I think it'd be weird.
What are you trying to insinuate with that now?
I think it would be strange if you did have, like, you know, a Brazilian down there. You know, like a very close cut. I don't think it would be befitting.
Join me in the bathroom later, and I'll show you what I have.
But I trim it up. We all trim it up.
See, I trim it up, but now it's very, like, you know, these guys there would take a lot of effort in their hedge, in their garden.
Yeah.
I'm just kind of like, get it down so I can see over it.
Yeah.
And that's where I am.
Just clear away the main bit of it.
The brush.
Yeah.
That's just kind of,
It's been, I haven't seen you in, not like a while. I see here and there, but you're a what's the word?
Elusive.
You're elusive.
That's the way I like it.
You're elusive.
I kind of want to live my life like an ex-MI6 agent. They're like, where did he come out of and why has he got a gun? But my dream would be now to, I want to own an island on Loch Éireann. And every 6 months or so, I'll come out and I'll make a video and I'll slag and slit everybody off. Retreat back to the island so I can't get any solicitor's letters or anything.
McCartney's Island?
Yeah.
I mean, when you start off and go, my dream is I want to own an island.
Mm-hmm.
You go, whoa. When you say unlock earn, I immediately go, it's achievable.
Yeah.
You can do it.
Absolutely. We log cabin.
What do you reckon you'd pay for a small island on Loch? Because there's load. Like, I mean, there's thousands.
I have looked this up and there's islands, but there is islands you can buy for like 200 grand.
Right. Well, that's more than I thought.
Well, have you ever tried to buy a site down by us?
No.
Lands
dear. Yeah, but how big is this? Like, I don't want anything.
Couple of acres, like.
Oh, that's way bigger. I thought you just want one that's big enough for like a log cabin and a wee bit of.
I don't want to like open the door and land in the fucking lock. Like, I want a nice wee garden and stuff. But
yeah, would you live on an island? Like, if it was.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. See, I've seen people. I've known people that have done it, but what they do is they then build a road out to it. I'm like, you just ruined the...
Yeah, then it's not an island.
No, it's not an island. You want to have... Now, it's not ideal if you have a family. You have to park the car and get a boat.
Yeah.
But that's the way I want to live my life.
But do you like your own company?
Oh, very much so.
Do you prefer your own company?
Sometimes, yeah.
See, I think I'd love the idea of that. I mean, I've got a wife and kid, so I probably shouldn't say that, but... I love the idea of an island, right? Live there by yourself.
Mm.
But I think I'd get there, I'd get the house built, I'd get it all set up, and then after 10 minutes I'd go, see if anyone wants to come around.
Oh, no. Don't come around.
You don't want people, you actively don't want people to come around?
No, actually, I'm only joking. Like, I don't mind my own company now. I could sit happily. I'm an only child, you see, so...
You're somewhere, like, you're not off the grid, but you're not in the middle of the grid. In general.
I'm kind of on the side of it.
You can see the grid. You're sitting on the edge of the grid.
What are you calling the grid now?
Off grid. You know when someone's off grid? You can't get in touch with
them. Sure, we are on an island. Everyone here's off the grid.
Yeah, well, that's true.
Both physically and mentally. So, I mean, I just want to go one step further. It's not a big leap. But I can see that happening.
In the last year, I think people definitely now want to do more things like that. Like, just get away from it all a bit more. Do you think, see when people were going with like COVID and all this, people go, that will have a long-term effect on people's like thinking, on people's minds.
Uh-huh.
At the time, I was like, it won't. But now I'm thinking, will that change humanity?
It's very deep.
But it has to have some sort of...
Oh, well, there will be, it's unprecedented times. Like, I was thinking, imagine trying to explain to someone in 20 years' time what the pandemic
Imagine being like, 20 years ago, I needed to pick up a camera from Curry's, and you had to order it online, text them when you arrive. This happened.
Yeah.
You go to Curry's, they go, we'll text you what parking bay you're parking. There's only like three of them. This is Forest Side in Belfast. So you park in like bay three. It goes, stay in your car. When we send you another text, put the window down on the back seat. Don't speak to the man that comes out. Gerald will be out with your goods. Don't look at Gerald. Don't speak to Gerald.
He definitely added that in.
Yeah.
But that's a good thing, because I think I was so sick of listening to my parents about the troubles. It's great that we can dose the next generation with, you should see the handling I had to go through to get a screen protector in Curry's. So,
Gerald, give Gerald a semen sample. He'll give you your product. You give him a semen sample, your mother's maiden name, wink at him, and then you drive off. It's fucking, but we all went along. Like, I'm not one who's like, we should have rebelled. Obviously not. I just mean, we were all very quick to be like, okay, this is the way you do things.
But I think it's been a lot worse. In where I live, I didn't really notice much difference.
Yeah.
The only thing I noticed more was more people walk on the roads.
Everyone, what about everyone going, and myself included, everyone went for a walk every day and then went, we should just do this always every day. And then as soon as like lockdown got lifted,
that's just goes to show
you, I've got a car.
What an awkward bunch of hoers we are. It's like, when you're told you can't leave the house, I'm fucking leaving the house. But they could have done it any time. Like, I would do a right bit of walking about and would usually see nobody.
Yeah.
But this past like 2 years.
Do you meander? I see you meander.
I'm a wanderer.
You wander? Oh, yeah. That's better.
Wander.
I could genuinely see you hosting Leicester Spot at Ulster. I would fucking love that.
Yeah, dream of mine.
Do you like Leicester Spot at Ulster?
Well, the videos I'd done, the Parish Unknown videos, was all like... Yeah, like I remember seeing, it was a clip on YouTube actually of Joe Mahan. He was in Coal Island. And he was interviewing these two boys, and it was the most hilarious thing I've ever seen. Because Joe was like so like level and calm, and these boys, he was asking about this. He's like, that fucking place down there, I know, you wouldn't go near that there, huh? No, fuck no. They were so rough and rural, and it was hilarious to me. And
do you eventually want, do you think Joe should eventually just come more into the cities? Like, that's about Ulster Botanic.
Well, actually, no, I think you should go more. Like, I think when people do travel shows, they tend to go, we'll do the big cities.
Yeah.
And funny, like, that's one thing I've noticed. The clips or whatever they get the most views would be the smallest towns.
Because I think people think when you're doing, like, a video like that, sometimes people go, we'll do the big ones because anyone who lives there or whatever, they'll share it, they'll like it.
Yeah.
Whereas it doesn't matter about, you could do, like, I could do a stand-up clip about... fucking Lurgan.
Yeah.
And it's not necessarily people in... That's aren't only going to appeal to people from Lurgan, but you do think that's...
But they're so used to it now.
Yeah.
Like, people from Lurgan and Larne and these bigger places are used to getting the shit ripped out of them.
If it begins with L, you're fucked.
But if you go to Eskra,
yeah,
which has like 300 people on it,
yeah,
they've been sending it all over the world.
Yeah.
Your fucking boy came to Eskra one time.
Right.
So it's and they're actually more fun. I found like the ones, the smallest ones, the town people see you,
right,
and go, "What are you doing?
Yeah.
What are you doing here?
Yeah."
And they get chatting to you, and it's a lot more fun. Like,
did you, the first one? So it became like, I assume that 99% of people who watch or listen to this will have seen some of them, but you did Parish Unknown, which was like, I suppose, a parody of Leicester Spotted Ulster parts unknown as well. Like, it, yeah, like that's where the title comes from. And then it'd be funny if you were like, nah, I don't know what that is. It doesn't come from that.
I've actually never watched it, but it was the title. I'm a simple man. It takes very little.
I'm like, he's really paying tribute to Anthony Bourdain with this piece. I don't know who Anthony Bourdain is.
And the end credits, just me eating noodles.
Anthony Bourdain sounds like someone Joe Mahon would speak to in Tomb.
Aye, you know. Yeah.
But yeah, so it's like a comedy sketch kind of series where you're doing like a quick guide to a place, just pieces the camera. And when you did the first one of that, those was it just like a one-off, or instantly were you like, I'm going to do a series of these?
I had the idea for it for about a year before I'd done anything. And I remember telling like friends that love to do this, and they're like, are you wise or near well? Why would you do that? And I just, one notion of one day, I thought, I'm gonna go do this. And I shot it in Enniskillen. And Enniskillen, like, I live between Noma and Enniskillen. So I'd done a place that I knew well. And I remember I went and shot it and took it home and edited it and went, this is shit.
Right.
And I got up at 4.
Did you shoot it yourself?
Well, everything I do, it's all me. Like, that's why they're all...
People wouldn't know that.
That's why they're all shit looking.
No, but... okay, it looks rough and ready, but people would think...
We see, it is the way of it. It actually... Because I'm in places where it needs to be quick and get it done now, there's times where... But I'm a cameraman, so I have to set up the camera and pretend and get it in focus, and then I go in front of the camera, and then it's out of focus.
Anthony Bourdain did that for Parts Unknown, too. He shot it all himself.
I've pretty much ripped him off completely. But, so it's all usually just me. I enjoy it that way more, but the first time I was shite, and I got back up at 5 o'clock the next morning, because the town was quieter.
Shot it again?
I shot it again. And I mind-edited it and went, right, okay...
What's going on in Enniskillen at 5 a.m?
Nothing really. But that's what gives me the room.
Or 5 p.m.
That's what gives me the room to act the fucking blackguard. But I'm main thinking, before I posted it, I was like, we could be burnt out of the house here. Because like, I did give some places a bit of a touch. But it didn't. They liked it.
Well, towns here are small. Like, everywhere is small. But fucking Belfast is small. So if you're talking about so many, like, you pack so many references into that, and it's really, you know, well, this shop or this person or whatever, or a well-known person, they're going
to
see it.
I have people say to me going, Jesus, you say some wild things. How are you not getting, like, in bothering? But the way I say it is, like, who's the people that you offend and take the piss out of the most? The people you love.
Yeah.
Your friends.
Yeah, yeah.
And only I know the places. I wouldn't... Like, I couldn't do a place that I've never been in before.
Right.
So if
right.
If I come to a town near you, I like the place.
If you're in Hollywood.
Oh well, I as soon as I came in here, I was like, I don't belong here.
Right.
You know, there was a doll with a buggy with alloy wheels in it, and
yeah,
I went up to the car park, and the boy, you know, they give you a ticket if there's a couple of hours.
Yeah.
Give me the ticket, £1,000 for taking off.
But no, well, you mean like when pensioners and stuff go here, a ticket's valid for the day. You have a right to report those people.
Do you?
Yeah.
No, well, I'm not like you. See, I'm decent.
I honestly, if anyone does that, you're going to McGalbury tonight.
See, it's different down where I am now. They really rip the fucking thing out of the hole in the wall to get it. But this is my second time in Hollywood.
What was your first?
The rugby club.
Oh, you shot the...
I was an extra.
Sketchy with Dermot Core. I was in it too. Sketchy with Dermot Core. People... Might not know it now, but it was a wild thing, which was Dermot was a stand-up from Coal Island.
That's right.
Really good stand-up. And I think it's fair to say he was doing stand-up to get recognised for acting. He wanted to be an actor. So he saw stand-up as a great way to like be on stage, perform, get a TV show that would also showcase his acting. And it like worked out that way for him. So he got a show from BBC NI called Sketchy with Dermot Core. And it was something like 6 half-hour episodes, or maybe even more. It might have been like 12 episodes.
Did you not get a couple of seasons?
Yeah, you got 2 seasons. But it was like, for here, big budget. Because they would do a lot. So it was stand-up and sketches. But the stand-up, they had the whole studio. There was warm-up acts. It was like a load of cameras. And the sketches were like well-budgeted too. And like that's I don't think that's happened before or since.
Yeah.
You know, BBC have gone like six, because they, with everything, they go, yeah, they get one episode, or nowadays probably it starts out as online. If they like it, it'll get a pilot on TV. Then you might get a three-part series, but definitely not six. But he got six right from the start. And that's weird, because this is probably 12 years ago.
Oh, yeah. I was about 18.
Everybody was in it. Like, everyone was an extra in that. That's Colin right. was an extra in it. Kieran was an extra in it. Me, you, I didn't know you were in it.
Yeah, this had a bigger part in it.
Yeah, you mean with the Wander and Willie sketch?
I can't remember. I remember it was all over the Barney the Blender was going to be in this, but he was literally in it for like 30 seconds.
Well, that's the thing they did with him, and I think he definitely caught on to this very quick. If he was going to be doing a small part in anything or a gig where when he was new to stand-up, he was just going to do like a five-minute slot, they put him literally his face first and his in the... And it puts so much pressure naturally on him, and everyone's like, we're here to see you do a whole set. He's like, yeah. I'm just here to do 5 minutes. So with that TV show, they did that,
yeah.
And they like put him on the ad, and he had like a couple of lines in it.
Aye.
But that, I did a sketch down by the beach here. I did a few things for it, and then they did a stand-up showcase. So everyone who had been in it that was a stand-up for the first series got to perform, and they turned that into a separate program.
Right,
and it was aired and stuff. And if you ever see it, I think it's online. I'm wearing a blazer, right? Blazer, Led Zeppelin t-shirt. I can name you two of their songs now. Couldn't name Jenny there. I look about 12. The blazer was from Primark and it cost 18 quid. Jeans and brown shoes. And I talk in the weirdest way. Because it's a TV audience. So I speak like this and deliver everything like that. And it's just... Well, it actually went quite well on the night, but like,
so that's still the way I hear you now.
Do you? The material. Oh, I remember my big line on it was, my dad's so old, but he's asked me to get him on Facebook, and I told him someone wrote on his wall, and he started filling up a bucket with Fairy Liquid Noir brush. And that was like my fucking bit.
Oh,
that was the bit.
Life at the Apollo just floored. Yeah. Hey, how Def is Jam. Your dad?
Well, he's good.
Your father?
Oh no.
Oh no. You used to do like sketches with him, didn't you?
Yeah. Mainly me scaring him.
And you were doing like BBC Don't Get Us. You were using him.
Yeah.
To get the publicity in. Because
yeah. Shane Todd Live's just my dad's face.
Do you mind we done the charity gig in Limelight?
Yes.
I remember doing my set, and I remember seeing your dad. I remember he was like third or fourth row. I remember going, fuck, I know that fella, and I just dawned who it was.
Well, you probably know him because everyone at the Limelight gig is 21, and you were 72-year-old.
I but he had a Led Zeppelin t-shirt on, so he wouldn't know. But I remember after it was over, we were at the bar, and the bar was on the way out.
Yeah.
And I remember people coming, and I remember your dad. I remember it as well. There was like a gap. I was at the bar, and then I think McKigney was one enemy and Robinson the other. And your dad just kind of stopped and looked at me and nodded. But it wasn't like a, how you doing? It was more like a, you know, like at the end of every 90s movie, the Mighty Ducks for the win, they go. And he looked at me, my soul kind of just like, look, I was all made up. So he's keeping well.
That's like the sign of everything's going to be. If you get one of those from my dad, that's the monetary value of that's about 5 million.
Oh yeah, I felt it.
He does it. By the way, he will not just give that out. Like, it's not like the next person he saw, he went.
Aye.
He's given that to you.
It wasn't a...
He's actually in Lanzarote at the minute.
Living it up. It wasn't like a how you doing, it was like a...
Yeah. That's you know, like you being passed in comedy.
See, that's all I want.
My dad, he's done that for everyone. Like, I think about 10 years ago, he had to fly to America to give the gift to Kevin Hart.
All right. I said, don't take it away from me, but...
No. There's four or five people. You, Kevin Hart, Pryor, Kevin McAleer, and Alan Carr.
The big leagues.
Yeah.
No, regularly.
But no, he's good. He's in Lance Roddy. And
very good.
Probably in a pair of budgie smugglers right now. And
but I think it must be something in you that these are very, like... You're very like that too.
Well, I give you props.
Not props, but funny. I remember my very first gig in the Pav mm-hmm. was on a Monday, and you done Bogan's Bar in Oma on the Saturday.
Is that Craig David? 7 days.
All right. How's he keeping now? See Lanzarote as well. Just the two boys with the pool going.
As soon as Craig released 7 days, my stood top of the pops. My dad was in the second row. Craig, mate.
He goes with him everywhere, no matter what he does. Good job. But I, it's like, it's amazing what you do for people when you don't know you're doing it
right.
for them. Like, and I remember you were on the Saturday night, and I thought, I'm going to go see this fella and just get into it. I'd never seen you before. I thought, I'll go and I'll get in the humour of comedy. And you got up, and I think you were headlining. And I mean going, well, if this bollocks can do it. No, I'm joking. You killed it. But I mean going, it did help me to... When I say help me, I just took all your material and
started doing other places
on Monday. Yeah. But that seems like such a lifetime ago. You've even seemed to have like changed an awful lot since then.
Comedy style or offstage?
Well, you get rid of the pre-mark blazer for one.
Yeah, maybe being a dad has something to do with it, though. Do you know what I mean?
Well, I suppose everyone should grow, I suppose. But
I do like the in terms like the giving props thing. Like I like to do that.
Yeah. You know? I've always said, I think I said this before. See, I always take wee things to get there, and they stay with me. But another charity gig we done, because we're great men. We do all these charity gigs. And I mean, I was chatting to Sean Haggerty. And I just quit my job and I was full time into the comedy. And he was like, what are you doing? And I was like, no, I've quit cold turkey. I'm giving this a go. And I was like, whatever, you know, I don't know what I'll do, but I'm sure I'll get a plan B. And then you put your head in. He's like, there's no plan B.
No, I was talking about the lineup.
Aye.
Because we thought we'd book them. I promised he was going to come on at the end. And then
him, your dad, and Craig David.
I said, there's no plan B. But my dad's booked Craig David, so it's worked out. No, but I just mean, like, I just think you're, like, definitely original enough to just make it work. And, like, I think you probably have to have a plan, like, a plan B, like, even in the background a bit, just to be, like, responsible. But I
disagree.
I do too. I'm just trying to make it seem like I'm a normal person. I don't think you should have a plan. I literally, there's nothing else I can do.
Funny, somebody said to me a while ago, it's like, what would you consider when you've made it? What's going to happen to me that I go, I fucking made it now? And I didn't want to say it. I didn't say it out loud, but I kind of was like, I kind of have. I'm doing what I want to do. In Oma is as good to me as a stage in New York or London. It makes.
I think if you can get people to come and see you do stand up, you've made it. If five people come and see you do a gig,
as long as you can make a lock of pound and live,
yeah,
and enjoy what you're doing, so what?
I think there's definitely a new thing of people get caught up in numbers and see, like I think goals and all are great. But the longer I do it, the less I actually have goals. And that's not lack of ambition. I'm probably more ambitious than I've ever been.
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes you just have to enjoy what you're doing and go, I'll work hard at it. And hopefully like that will lead to cool stuff happening.
Yeah. But you do need a bit of a push in you, I suppose. But what's that old cliche saying? It's funny thing about usually the cliche sayings are all true.
Yeah.
That's the hateful thing about them. But if you do enjoy the journey, what the fuck odds about the end?
If you enjoy the journey, then every part of it must have been worthwhile.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know. But yeah, I just think having a plan B, I think if you already have a plan B by default, like if you have a degree in law and you're like, I'm going to give stand-up a go, you have a plan B then. So that's...
But you can't, like, I can't go back doing what McCaffrey. I've done. No, I'd love to go back. Enjoy themselves. I don't know about you, but I definitely don't think I could fit into a 9-to-5 now with the things that I've done.
Said and done. I'm exactly the same. Like,
there's no going back. Like,
I mean, at the start, not to bring it back to the pandemic again, but at the start, I definitely like mates that do stand up were definitely like, we can't go and do, what are we going to do? We can't go and do normal jobs. And I was like, I definitely could. Like,
what would you do?
Fucking any delivery driver, whatever.
You couldn't. She and Todd, don't give me that shit. You delivering for Tesco?
Yeah.
You
Amazon, mate.
You Amazon. Fucking couldn't do it.
Yeah, huh? You would. There'd be a lot of
happening. You'd come to the door and you'd be like, lettuce?
Lettuce?
Change this. Punjana? It'd be a big show about it.
You would have had to. It might have got to the point where you have to do something if comedy didn't come back. But when it did come back, we did show in the limelight. I did like a run of shows in the limelight. And one night, I think it was me, you, and Butler. Do you remember?
They were class. September.
They were brilliant.
They were good.
And you remember we just got so caught up in it because there was an early show and a late show. Early show was 7, late show was 9:30.
Aye.
I thought it was 9:30, but it was actually like 8:30 or 9. And we went for a cup. Remember we walked up to Botanic?
That's right.
It was September, but it was a nice night.
Somebody booked a table for you.
That's right. That was weird. Remember?
Aye.
We went to this place by chance, house in Botanic, and sat outside and had a coffee in between the shows. And then the like hostess or whatever was like, your table's booked for like 30 minutes. I just came here by chance. I didn't book a table. And someone's booked under your name. So someone's getting reservations. Let me tell you, it's not going to buy you anything.
But see, I'm glad I can get this off my conscience now. It was me booked it on the way up thinking that maybe you would buy the feed. Like. But you didn't, so I had to just kind of say no.
Yeah, yeah. But that was so good because like that was the time where you felt like you shouldn't have been doing stand-up. Not like from a responsibility point of view, but like it's like, oh, I didn't think I'd be back this soon. Like, we're really getting to do it. And those shows were
Probably out of the 2 years of the pandemic, they were the best gigs, I'd say. They were the most enjoyable for whatever reason.
And what have you been doing for like, say like the last 6 months?
Do you see the guy in every town that just stands outside of a Super Value? That's me.
You've been leaning against. You've been leaning there. Against gates.
That's been me these 2 years.
Paper under the arm. Never going to read.
I've been working away, but when I say working away, like I try to keep a good routine. I try to keep, so like Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday is my filming days. Thursday, Friday, Saturday, stand up or whatever. And so even when the days like I wasn't gigging, I just walked around the roads shouting to myself.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So, but like I done a pile of like videos and stuff during the time, but I didn't release them.
For what reason?
Some of them I look at and think that's shit, and some of them I go, I'm just going to keep that for myself. I'm not very smart that way, you know.
Well, I think you are because I have fallen into the trap before of, like, I'm lucky with we do a couple of podcasts a week, so there's always like clips. Mm. And I like every clip that I go, oh, that's funny, let's put that out. But I definitely fell into a thing a few years ago of going, I'm going to put out a sketch once a week. And the first two were good. And then I did another one and went, that's probably not that good. But I did say I was going to, but no one gives a fuck. If you say you're putting it out once a week and if you miss it, no one cares. But yeah. I was putting out stuff for a while that it was almost for the sake of it. So I think definitely the better way to go is if you think it's good and you want to put it out,
absolutely.
Put it out.
I mean, like I remember before I started mind reading stuff about like online content and all. And they were like, oh, definitely, like at least once a week, if once a day if possible.
Yeah.
And no longer than 30 seconds because people have no, you know what I mean? If it's not good after the first 2 seconds, they'll just turn it off. Yeah.
Click like, the title.
I do one maybe every 2-3 months and it could be 10 minutes long. So I never really subscribed to that way of thinking. I just, it's like, funny, I was always a big Saturday Night Live guy.
Yeah.
And I do think sometimes like they do it every week. And you might get one class sketch in the entire show.
Yeah.
Why not do it once a month and have it deadly throughout?
Yeah, yeah.
I'd be far more inclined to do that.
It's a wee bit the same with stand-up. And I, like a lot of people, I do an hour a year. And everyone probably does do an hour a year, even if they don't put on an hour-long show. You probably do, if you're gigging regularly, an hour's worth of stuff every year. We should,
yeah. I think.
But there can be a trap of you've got to do a new hour every year and put on a big venue and do all this. And this is the first year where even though I am doing that, so it might not make sense, I didn't feel like I had to.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, if I don't feel like I've got the material or the show, I won't do it. And this year I think, oh, I do. I've got a good idea for a show. I've already got a bit of material. But next year I could easily not do that. And I think people can fall into a trap of, I have to put anything out here. You don't. No one's going away. That's if they like your stuff, they're not going away.
You can't force comedy.
Yeah.
You can't, you know, as much as you'll try, you'll not. So I kind of, definitely my attitude towards doing the comedy has changed throughout the pandemic. Like, I don't think I will gig as much even. I think I'd rather sit and try and come up with maybe an hour show and then do like a work in progress instead of going up here and doing 5 minutes and 10
but
minutes.
Would it be a time thing as well? Because like you live far away. So if you're going to come do a 7 minute spot,
yeah,
it's fucking hard.
I mean, it is good crack. Like it is nice to go see you guys and Lavery's and chat and stuff.
Oh, the hangout's better than the gig sometimes.
But I think I'll do that more. A little bit less, but more whenever I get around it, kind of a thing.
Yeah.
And it means you'll enjoy it more, I think. I'll enjoy it far more. So, and that's, I didn't get into this for hard work.
I love doing spots because I like being in that atmosphere of stand-up.
Yeah.
You know when you're backstage at Lavery's and everyone's like a wee bit giddy, but also not. Like, you have very, like, it's, people probably have a thought of what it's like backstage at a gig. You're cracking jokes, roasting each other.
Oh,
like
cocaine and
it's like
strippers.
And it's
all.
Like, no, well, fucking.
That only happens at the Pav.
You're like, I mean, William Thompson has a Diet Coke, but we're talking about someone's shoes here.
Nah, he's not as good crack now when he's skinny. He used to like him when he was fat. I need to shape up, hey, because all these boys are getting better looking and skinnier looking. I don't know.
I mean, with comedy though, you know what I mean. You don't.
What?
You don't have to like.
No, I'm just talking about my health. Oh. I want to live a couple of years longer.
What do you see yourself doing like in 5 years' time? Like, what would you like to do? TV stuff?
Not comedy. I think
current affairs.
Comedy's had its day on national television. I really do.
Oh shit.
I
agree.
Not like there's some people that is good at it, but I know for like if I was asked to do a show and then the last minute told me, you can't do that, I'd be like, but that's an integral part of the whole thing. It would just I suppose it's the curse of I don't mind working with people, but I work alone mostly, so it's just I'm so used to just going, all right, I'll do that and go do it.
Yeah,
but I'm a bit of a documentary buff, so like I love them, like them last few ones of Paddy Keelty done, I thought were class,
unbelievable.
If I was ever approached to do something like that, I'd take hand and all. But I was asked to do a thing for radio, but I said no
because you didn't think you'd get to do it the way you wanted to, or.
Yeah, there was a couple of things. The timing wasn't right either, but radio was a completely different beast for me because I was usually so used to video.
Yeah, yeah.
And I didn't know. I was like, well, if I'm going to do it, the first thing I don't want it on is BBC Radio Ulster, where everyone's going to hear. So that was kind of a thing. I was like, no, I'm not gonna do it. But maybe.
It's
maybe
tough to say no to things.
Thankfully, I'm quite good at it. Yeah. I say no to a lot
no,
of
it
stuff.
No, like, it is genuinely a brilliant skill.
It's hard to do it and not be hateful. You don't want people to think, this guy's a dick. Like,
yeah,
but
yeah.
There's just some things that you know you're not going to be right for.
Yeah.
And I'm happy enough to say no.
What way do you get recognised? What's a normal experience for you when you're in Enniskillen at Avivo? Is it just make it out of a selfie?
Usually you can hear it over the aisle going, is that Mark McGierney?
Yeah.
Thankfully it settled down before the pandemic. It was, I nearly got raped in Omagh last Christmas, or the Christmas before. And I don't use that word lightly.
In what way?
Sexually assaulted my genital area.
A woman?
I think so.
Just out of nowhere, someone you just didn't know?
Mm-hmm. And like, you know the sometimes a wee tap is getting worse than a punch in the balls?
Yeah.
The way she went for me, I was like,
where was this?
In Omagh.
I'd be like at a gig. Or?
No, it was a bar night out. Christmas night out with friends. And I was like, what the fuck are you at? And then she's like, oh, I can give it, but he can't take it. I was like, what do you think I'm doing? Yeah, I don't sexually assault people in videos. Yeah.
That's a crazy thing of people thinking that they know you and you're like public property.
Owned. Yeah, and then I was heading to the toilet. And that's when she got, and I got to the toilet and it was all aggravated and horned up, and there was a gay in there. Then they started going, "Oh, Mark McKiernan," and just I was all like, kind of, I was like, "Well, well," and he was drunk, full drunk, and he was pissing all over the place, and he was trying to shake my hand. I was like, well, "Let's wash our hands," and I'll shake your hand. And I chatted him for about 5-10 minutes. I was completely sober. I went down to my table again. And then I got a DM on Instagram from the guy going, "Ah, you're an ignorant old fucker."
That's just sure that.
And I was like, I'm getting out of here. That's the last time I was out, Noma.
That's great. Like, thankfully, no one's done that.
Yeah. Oh, it's but pretty.
That is.
It's pretty. It was mental at the time. Like, it was.
Yeah. And to, like, just for her to just be like, it's nothing. It's, you know, just like, he's a comedian. He loves comedy.
He loves the crack.
You're like, yeah, but that's not comedy. Like,
she look at Bill Cosby, he enjoys it. You must enjoy it too.
The only time I've had that was at a comedy festival.
I had a gay too, right early doors. I went into a shop looking generally like me with holes in my trousers and mess. went in the shop and got milk. Went to the deli counter, got half a pound of Wicklow ham. Went to the till, needed coal. I said, "Give me a bag of coal."
What were you doing? You're shopping in the 1950s.
better prices. I went out to the car and the girl came out with me and she opened up the thing for the coal and I put the coal in the boot. And as I was putting it in, this van full of men get her pass and was like, "Oh, McKiernan," or whatever. And I'd seen one guy with a phone out through the window. Passing remarks, as well, how you doing? By the time I got home, I was sent a video of the guy that had spotted me in the shop and had followed me from the milk to the ham to the till to the coal to the you the whole way around. And I haven't left the house since.
I mean, you'll be okay. You've got half a pound of ham to work through.
I wouldn't like to be Jamie Dornan.
No.
I mean...
It's just that familiarity thing.
I've no problem. Like, people come up and say hello and selfies and blah, blah.
No one's ever a dick.
Like, but there is some people that do take it to extremes, like.
Yeah. Like, there was a... And I would probably have fallen for this. I was chatting to a guy at, like... it was like a farm. And as part of the farm, like a public farm, they had a play park and my son's going down a slide and all this. And he's at the age where, like, you got to watch him all the time, you know, because he can walk, but just about and all that. This guy come up, "Oh, where's Dave Elliott?" You know, and he genuinely said that. And we were there with Dave and his family. He goes, "Where's Dave Elliott?" I was like, "He's at the fucking llamas over there." And the guy was chatting to me and he wasn't getting a lot back. I'm being like, I'm never a dick to any, like, I'm being polite to the guy. But I'm sort of like not looking at him because clearly I'm paying attention to my son.
Yeah.
And the guy's all, "Well, there's no rave lockdown anymore." I'm like, no, that's away. And my son, and he goes, "You're not much chat." I said, "Oh, it's just, I'm here with my son." And he said something else. And my son came down the slide and wasn't like dangerous. He wasn't hanging off the slide. But I stopped to turn the chat to this guy, and in the 3 seconds, my son nearly like fell or whatever, and I just picked him up and said, "I said sorry, mate." I was like, "I'll get chatting to you another time," and I know he will have gone away and been like, "He was a dick."
She told the dick, yeah.
And it's weird that I would also let that not get to me. Like, I'm not fucking upset about it, but also I'd be like, "Shit, I hope I didn't ruin that guy's afternoon."
I'm the exact same because I like, what age did you start stand up and stuff?
18.
I see, like, I was so used to just being so inconspicuous. So when people shout my name, I'm kind of like, "Wow, what did I do?"
But then when you started doing it, you started at the peak of, like, the online time.
Yeah.
So when I started doing stand-up, it was all, like, word of mouth type stuff. Like, you weren't...
And I always assume, I don't know, it's probably me, like, but I think when people come up to say hello, they expect me to do, like, a 10-minute set.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, I'm like, "Oh, 5 minutes of new stuff here, do you want to hear?" So I get in my head about that too, because you're like, you just get in your head about things.
Of course.
But I remember one time me and McCann went for a walk around a forest outside Cash. I've talked McCann. See, this past year, Aaron McCann, jet setter.
Yeah.
New York.
LA.
LA. London.
Yeah.
Has never been to Keshe.
Fuck's sake. I mean, why would...
And even he's like, this is... The Delhi counter in Keshe.
Oh, don't think I don't know Keshe.
The best. Have you ever been to Mayfly?
Mayfly? You been to Mayfly?
Oh, I would.
Good grub?
When? Did you perform or just something date?
Something date. Free country.
That's amazing you didn't say, worry. How many years ago was this?
Months ago.
And you didn't text me to go here. I literally live 20 minutes from there.
Let's just say I spend a little time around Keshe.
Uh-huh.
We have a caravan near there.
Oh.
I know that part of the world. See, what do you call that town? It's called something town. Near Keshe. Why is this going on in my head?
Irvinstown?
Irvinstown.
Oh, aye.
Nicest people in Northern Ireland.
Oh, aye. That's where I got my first kiss.
In Irvinstown?
Yeah.
Whereabouts in Irvinstown? Tennis court?
Molly's used to be a place upstairs. It's only 6 months ago.
Was there a disco?
It's just like a hi-fi in the corner. Just Mambo number 5 full blast. Yeah, people say my address is Fintna, but I literally live in the middle of, like, I'm halfway from Oman and Skillin. Tralictermore, Fintna, Irvinstown's literally all 20 minutes.
Please, one of our listeners remix that into a dance song when you named all those places so quick. Please, someone turn that into a beat.
I need the Spotify money if you do. That's where I grew all around there, always. Like.
You said you know someone asked you to do maybe a radio thing. What weird things have you been asked to do? Whether it's live or would you come round to my house? So I was doing a gig in might have been Antrim, and some guy went me to see you in Antrim. I'm not coming to the gig, but would you stop on the way up and roast my 13-year-old son? And I said, no, probably not.
There was one guy that was after a gig with Mickey in the nerve center. He was like, I think I just done the podcast for Geddes or something after it, and he listened to Geddes. And then he watched all my stuff, and he's like, he said, oh, I love, very funny, very funny. And then he's like, this is my wife. Call her a cunt.
I swear to God, I bet you know that guy. Was he blitzed? Unbelievably blitzed?
He wasn't too bad.
Mid-30s?
I
know that guy.
He's like, I was like, she looks like a lovely woman. I'm not going to call her a cunt. She's like, no, I'm not going to do it. And like, fuck you.
And she wanted.
She just stood there with her handbag. Like, I'd have felt well bad if I did call her. That is a strange one. The weddings are strange to me.
You done any?
Asked loads. Said, I'm sorry. Like, I would ruin someone's day.
So I was always like, never. Not for any amount of money. And then...
But you're not too bad because, like, you're a better comedian than me. I just do filth and dirt.
No.
Like, I'm not going to get him somebody's wedding day and go, what about the mother or the bride? Horny old bitch.
But then you're saying I'm a better comedian. But that, it's obviously subjective to the point where you showing up and people would fucking... Some people would love
that.
But
I think that...
I show up and do a set and sometimes people look at me and go, what are you doing?
I think in their head, they thought it was a better idea than it actually was.
Well, that's always... That's why the first few times I got booked, they go, we're looking at an hour of him to do stand-up. And I was doing 45 sometimes. And I was like, I'm never going to keep doing these weddings. As soon as I went, I'll bring an opener who'll do 10, 15, then I'll do 20. All of a sudden, they're class.
Far better.
If I've done 10 in the last, say, 2 years, 8 were really good. And sometimes the ones that you don't think... Like, I did one in a teepee tent. They had a massive... One of these venues where, like, they had booked a hotel. They got told they couldn't do it. They improvised. Big, massive teepee tent, like you'd see at Glastonbury. And it was unbelievable. It was class.
It's so funny, venues.
There was one... Me and Butler did one in Oma, in Silverbirch. I don't know if I can say this. And
a wedding?
Yeah. No, we just went. And for R&R, but
funny, anyone that asked me about doing weddings, I just went, she ain't taught.
Yeah. So we go up to do the gig and he's doing 15, then I'm doing 25. And he goes up and, like, normally at weddings, obviously it's adults, but we always say beforehand, well, Shine do. They go, is there anything off limits? Is there anything that shouldn't be said? And I get that before the gig and I stick to it. But these ones went, no, like, we love a laugh. Nothing's off limits. Butler goes up and does the sets, and he Butler has some, like, not risky stuff, but, like, you know, he talks about sex in his act, this kind of thing. And it, but it's all fairly, like, fine and tame. And he makes the set even tamer for doing this. So he's doing a set, and he mentions, he says, oh, when I was younger, I had the nickname, I'm called Aaron Butler, one of the nicknames I was Butt Plug, to set up this bit. And I'm waiting to go on, and I can't hear anything, but I can see the gig happening. So I'm, like, behind some glass watching, and I just see the mother of the bride, straight up to me. She comes into the room, she goes, that man needs to come off stage right now. And I was like, shit. I said, well, I can't. Like, what do you want me to do? And she went, you need to go on stage, take the microphone off him. I was like, Butler must have said something horrendous and out of character. I said, what do you mean? She goes, he used the term butt plug, and I don't think the reverend appreciated it. There was, like, a minister
little
beside
Gino. He probably did.
So I was like, I said, I don't even think that's that bad.
No. See, there definitely is, like, there's different levels of tame, but I have found there's the hypocrisy. I don't trust anyone that doesn't enjoy a dirty joke.
Yeah.
I think you're hiding something. If you 100%. Don't like a butt plug joke, there's probably somebody tied to your radiator at home.
Well, how often do you hear stories about, you know, and using this as a complete example, but a guy who's like on this crusade, you know, to get rid of fucking sexual predators from like, say, the TV world, and then you find out he himself. I'm using that as an example. There is 9 out of 10 people doing, like, standing up for stuff or doing it for the right reasons, but there's that one person every once in a while that makes it tougher for them by being like a fucking pedophile hunter guy.
Well, it is the part, turns out, like, I remember of course I say stuff and but no one has ever came to my face. No one's ever said, see that thing you said, I don't like it. But you've always heard secondhand. But I was asked to go to a charity do a while ago. Not to perform, just to go. And I went, and as soon as I went in, the people got up to say hello and take selfies or whatever. And at the far end of the hall, I could see this one woman that I know her. Not know her well.
Is it local to you, this?
Yeah, I know her. And she knows me. And because the way the crowd was at me, and I could see her all on her own, and I could see she looked behind seeing me. And women have a great way of going. Like, if I seen you and I didn't like you, I'd just go.
Yeah.
Women, no, she just went.
Yeah.
Just a real. Yeah. And then I heard afterwards, I remember saying to a guy, because I was like, what's wrong with, because I know she doesn't, she, like, what's completely called? Avoided me, like I say, because she's a real woman. But the joke of it is, like, that doll, I was told, she doesn't like your stuff, just too much for her. I mean, she just thinks it's crude and just not homely at all. And the joke of it is, this woman, a week before her wedding, was caught raiding her father's, while he works for her father, in the back of Sally's Hill. And you think, the fucking hypocrisy.
Is that a euphemism?
No, Sally's Hill. Stervenstown. And that's the truth.
Yeah.
So usually the people that act like they're disgusted really are doing worse than people that are talking about it.
Yeah, and it's like, to go, I don't like your stuff because it's not whole. The world can't be exactly what you want it to
no,
be.
No, I understand people going, that's not funny, because everyone has different sense of humor. But if you can't go, if you can't take it in jest or move on instead of getting offended by it.
It's not, I don't even think it's because I do stand up, but there's nothing I'm really ever going to watch and go, that offends me. Even if it's something I don't like, I'm going, as long as you tried to be funny with it.
Well, just because I don't like something you said,
yeah,
it doesn't give me permission to make a statement about it.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'm a white, middle-aged woman from Lurgan. I'm now sticking up for all black people in the world.
Well, congratulations. That's great work.
See what I mean? It makes no... Yeah. It's like the doll in Strabane, the time I said the autism on stage.
Right.
Literally just said
the
word.
Said the word autism.
didn't take the piss out of autistic people. Yeah, just said the word. So she got up, left on Facebook.
Fuck me. I mean, like, so my sister's autistic. If I go and see you on stage, you do a joke about autism, I don't think you're personally attacking me and my sister. Does that make sense?
Well, every time I get on stage, I feel like I'm personally attacking you, but that's just enjoyable. But I like... I'm sure I've said stuff that annoys people. And I'm sure I'll say stuff in the future that annoy people. But I know deep down that I'm not racist or homophobic or have anything with people with disabilities. So I have nothing to explain to you.
Yeah,
of course. It's your problem now.
Of course, but when you go to a comedy night, it's not all going to go your way. You might hear something that you don't like, but...
But the fact that she was just triggered by the word...
Yeah.
It was completely out of...
Yeah.
You know, I thought that was amazingly.
Yeah.
But instead of making me worry about being cancelled, it made me worse.
You just double down.
Double down.
But I think that, I've said it on podcast before, but... You know, if there was like a TV show on 10 years ago and there's something in it where someone did blackface or whatever, I am not the person to be like, my opinion on that is like, well, yeah, don't do it now. But if it was done at the time, you know the way they're like, we're deleting this episode from the history books?
Mm-hmm.
That will, I go, keep the episode up, but use it as a way to go, this fucking isn't acceptable.
Yeah, absolutely.
Use it as a tool to be like, this doesn't happen anymore. But when you delete stuff, when you delete it, all that does is in 5 years' time make people go, "What can I? I need to see that."
Yeah, it's making it worse.
It glorifies it a bit. I personally think, you know, whereas you can use it to go like, this is not the way we do it now.
But I find like it's never. I seen a video a while ago and I thoroughly enjoyed it. There was a gay in New York. And he had set up his camera and a mic. And he walked through New York with a sombrero and a poncho. And he asked people, what do you think of this? And they're like, you are a racist piece of shit. You're cultural appropriation. There was women running past, not even a part of it, going, racist. Same boy went down to Mexico with the same outfit on. And he said to this boy, what do you think of this? He says, that's a fucking nice outfit. Where'd you buy that? So people in America was outraged on behalf of Mexico.
Yeah.
It's like, I mean, what do you call that film? Space Jam.
Yeah.
The new one with fucking Michael Douglas.
I know what you're thinking. It's not Michael Douglas. Michael J. Fox.
No, it's Back to the Future.
Michael Jordan.
Michael Jordan was the first one.
I thought you were making it.
I told you, I don't make fun of people with disabilities. That's not what that was. There's the new one with, what do you call that basketball?
LeBron. Is it LeBron or Michael Douglas? Who plays the lead role in the new Space Jam? Because it'd be great if it's Michael Douglas, the actor.
Which one's... He's Batman.
LeBron James?
No, Michael Douglas. No, Michael Sheen. Michael Keaton. Too many fucking Michaels. Michael Sheen, who's he now?
He's doing the best.
He wasn't well for a while.
Michael Sheen?
I did dose of the AIDS.
Not Charlie Sheen.
Oh, Charlie
Sheen. Showbiz exclusive on Michael Sheen. Shout out to their dad, Mister, as well.
News to him. The Space Jam 2, there was a wee mouse and he was Mexican. And Warner Brothers went, fuck, cut that out, hey, that's not true. And the Mexican people, he's our favourite one.
Yeah.
Are we cutting him out? Everyone loves him.
Yeah.
So I think there's a lot of, it's a lot of people doing it on behalf of others.
I know what you mean, yeah.
And there's not really.
Yeah, I mean, there is obviously stuff where you're like, that's fucking bang out of order. But everything needs to be looked at like individually. It's all about
context.
Yeah,
I mean,
if
somebody says something and you know they're clearly joking, I mean, there's some guys you go, you know you mean that, like.
Yeah, you said guys there?
Eh?
You said guys there? Thank God, just for your accent for a second, I thought you said there's some gays, and I was like, no.
No gays.
Thank God.
Gay. Oh, plenty of gays too.
Yeah. Michael Sheen. Oh, man. Do you, what you're saying about, like, you know, wanting to do less gigs and stuff, will you, do you think, do, like, a show next year? You think you might have a...
funny, I was thinking about this last night, actually. I think now, do you know the way we tend to try and like put an hour together here? I'm thinking of trying to put an hour together elsewhere.
It'll be a better hour.
So go to London and day in my ass because they can't understand a word I'm saying. And then come back and just tour Ireland.
You go on stage, you go, how you guys doing? And people walk out. They just leave the venue.
Well, how you guys doing here?
I mean, I think you, like, so for the show I did at the Waterfront, which was called Somebody Told Me, and then the SSE was called Chancer, they were different hours, and I only got to preview them twice each. The first one I did, Glasgow and Edinburgh. Mm-hmm. Second one I did in Manchester and Liverpool. And while it was a lot of people from home at those shows, there was a good few people who weren't. So you weren't getting that free pass on a lot of jokes. Whereas if you only try it here, I think you lean into a lot more local stuff.
Absolutely. Well,
there's nothing wrong with it, but...
No, because I often hear people say about doing local stuff. Go to any cunt in the world, the Queen's doing local stuff. You watch Dave Chappelle on Netflix, he's talking about local stuff.
And there's a way to make that universal too. When you know.
Yeah.
If I'm watching a guy from New York talk about only New York, I won't know the places he's talking about. But I
you still get it.
Fucking stuff, yeah.
Yeah. But no, I think it's just more... It'd be good to be better because, as you say, you're doing it in front of strangers. But I think just the excuse of getting out and about. And I think you'll have... You'll have far better stories.
And you probably as well will have... You've never had that no pressure on you. Not no pressure, but because you did the videos and then that kind of blew up and then you were maybe just doing 10-minute spots, 5 minutes here and there, you know, still feeling your way a bit in the stand-up. People were, though, coming to see you. A bit like Collins thing, being on a poster. Mm. People were coming to see you being like... We don't care about the headliner or anyone else. We're here to see McCartney. And you're maybe trying a new 5 minutes. So that's a lot of pressure. So if you go to spots in London or Glasgow or Edinburgh or whatever, mm-hmm. you properly get to feel like,
yeah,
I'm under the radar here. I'm trying this.
Yeah, absolutely. And as you say, like, I'm sure there's a pile of people from home over there.
Of course.
But even just the... Like, I love travelling. I think people think that I am a hermit and I don't leave Fintan. But I do... I do love getting away and seeing places, and I love coming home, but...
Yeah, because I told... I know you got to go here, but I told you when I was doing gigs in the States a couple of years ago, everyone was asking about you at the gigs.
That's mad.
Like, bring McCartney over, get McCartney to come over, can he come over? Especially, like, Boston and Galway. Not Galway. That's not in America. The Galway Bay in Chicago, but those two places, everyone's asking.
You done Chicago? I think you done New York. And
I did... Boston, Chicago, Philadelphia, and New York.
See, I'm thinking I might just do like Elvis never left America. I'll just stay.
Yeah.
Oma.
Residency.
It'd be so much easier, wouldn't it? Yeah. But no, it's true. Like getting out and about. And but I was thinking like maybe take a year and just like go about England, Scotland, Wales, Europe, wherever, and then get your whole show together and then just tour all around here.
Yeah.
I think it's a nice... I think
that's a good plan.
Like, I always love people that... Like, you know, like, everyone here is, like, being in Australia, and they always bring back these stories.
Yeah.
And I used to love listening to, hearing them, what they were getting up to out there and all, so...
Yeah.
Something like that would be cool.
Yeah. Well, look, you start in Kesh, and then you...
What more do you want?
Where next?
Yeah.
Thank you very much for coming on. I appreciate it. Nice to sit
thank
down
you,
over... What did you think of the tea that I made you?
Middle enough.
Huh?
Tell me, what's the... L stand for?
1L Studios. Mm. So we're obviously in Hollywood here, which has 1L. So we're the 1L Hollywood.
Oh, right.
You know, so we're the underdog. We're the... Damn, why? I don't know why it's called 1L.
I thought it was loser, 1L. I was like, why would you call yourself that?
No, it's like... there's 1L
one
in Hollywood.
One loser studio? You know, we talk a big L.
There's 1L in Hollywood, and that's our wee...
That's our wee production company.
You still friends with Dornan?
No.
And Rory?
No.
Fuck you off.
Fuck those guys. Yeah, no, I am.
You're kind of like your gay H3 podcast. Post Malone used to be good friends with them.
No, we're actually... No, of course I'm still friends. Those guys were actually playing badminton here at half 12.
I'm raging. I thought them an actual celebrity here, like Donna Trainor or somebody. I thought I was going to be doing something with Love Island.
She's left BBC, so she could be on.
That could be...
She could be on. We'll get all the goss.
And that could be my avenue into serious Mainstream television?
Yes.
Wasn't me telling the news.
Heard in the voiceover for your documentary.
Yeah.
Yeah, that'd be fun. Yeah, no, of course, I'm still friends with those guys. The three amigos, me, Jamie, and Rory.
Have you ever met them?
Yes. Yes.
I seen them last week.
What?
I seen them last week.
Well, the two of them together?
No.
Good, because I would have been pissed off.
No, Rory told me he was in Florida the whole week. Imagine I was friends with them.
And
they wouldn't
speak. Crush me.
No, Jimmy was in the hotel in Belfast.
Oh, yeah?
Uh-huh.
You get a chat?
He was at the Premier.
Oh, why? Premier Inn?
No, what's the one, the big fancy one? I'm not good with names.
That's a travel lodge.
Aye, that's it.
Uh-huh. Yeah, sure.
And he looked at me like you're out of wages, man.
Must get my dad to do that to me.
Senior parish.
He's notes. Never done that to me.
I know. Rightfully so.
Cheers, Mark.
Good luck.